From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the second day of December, 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vay. She's in Hollister, Missouri at Total Farm Marketing. And Drew Lerner will join us from Kansas City, Missouri. He's been following closely the weather forecast in South America, particularly Brazil and Argentina, the dry weather conditions there. We'll talk with him about that, a little bit about Australia, and the hard red winter wheat growing regions of the United States, too, on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The lead option March corn for the day at $4.23¾ finished three higher. The May contract at $4.26½, up 2½. And next year's December at $4.08, a penny higher. Soybeans down 9 cents in the lead January at $11.53. March $11.54¾, 8¼ lower. And November beans down a nickel at $10.31½. Bean meal futures at $3.85.60, down $4.60, and the bean oil at $36.92, 9 cents lower for the day. Wheat futures soft red, up 11¼, finished at $5.88½ for the March contract, and the hard red in the December finished at $5.50½, up 13 cents for the afternoon. Live cattle futures in Chicago, nearby contract, that's the December at $10.70, 7½ cents higher. February there at $113.92½, up 75 cents. And lean hogs, rather live cattle, up 35 at $117.17½. In the April, June, 20 higher at $112.12½ for the afternoon. Now the lean hogs, nearby December, down 62½ cents, settled at $66.35 on the afternoon. A quick look at the energies shows the crude oil trading at $45.35 a barrel. That's 80 cents higher. Jackie Vakes of Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri now joins us. Jackie, it is so good. So good to have you back on the air after a three-week hiatus. Thanks for being here today. And I know you're not still feeling the best, but you're getting there.
I'm getting there, yes. I want to say a belated happy Thanksgiving to all of our listeners. And I had a mild case, but I'll tell you, I don't want a regular case if that's the way it is. I am definitely coming around. There's no question about that. It's just a long process is what it is. And so I'm very happy to be back, too. It's very hard for me to not do the show. Believe me, I've got to be feeling pretty bad.
Yeah, the exhaustion with coronavirus or COVID-19 just must be unbearable almost.
It's pretty unbelievable. I mean, you will lay down and sleep 10, 12, 13 hours and get up and be up for a little while, lay back down, sleep another 5-6 hours. You know, it wears you out is what it does. You know, it's just because of the fever that you run. It's I had all these strange, I mean, now it's everybody thinks that when you get coronavirus that you're going to lose your taste of sense of taste and sense of smell, and that you're going to have this horrific cough. I didn't have any of that. In fact, my doctor said it's much more common to just have a dry cough. But I had the nausea, I had the headache, I had the shortness of breath, fever, you know, an unending fever, it seemed like.
Yeah, every time I checked with you, you still had a fever. 20 days or more, it's, yeah.
Yep, yeah, it's a long time. It really is hard on your body is what it does, you know. So I'm just glad I'm as healthy as I am. I can't imagine what it would be like otherwise. Just be careful. I did everything. Wore the mask, did the distancing, washed the hands, did the whole business, and here I am. So, you know, it's just the way it is. I'm just glad I'm getting over it. That's all I care about.
I'm glad you're better and that Jeff has not contracted it, so that's a good deal. So, I know you're coming up to speed on the markets. Why don't we start with the normal things for the day, and we'll pick up a couple of other things as well. Begin with those support and resistance levels for me.
You betcha. March corn, support 416, resistance 432. We tested the downtrend line and we failed. The crossover point is at 308. On May, 411 support, 435 resistance. Crossover is at 420. December of 21, 401 support, 419 resistance, crossover point is at 462, and that one is based on a weekly chart, not on a monthly. Beans, January, 1107 support, 1205 resistance, crossovers at 997. March, 1099 support, 1198 resistance, crossovers at 1041. And November 21, support 986, resistance 1067. That also is off a weekly chart, and it is trading below the uptrend line. Dow Jones, support 29,569, resistance 30,139, crossover point still remains at 24,730. U.S. dollar index, 87.8. For support, 92.07, excuse me, for resistance. You know, and that's something, that dollar index is really supporting prices. There's no question about it. It's what we needed all the way down the line. Managed money, this is interesting. Now, I did go back, even though I wasn't here last week, and looked at what last week's were. Soft red wheat, they are now short 9,000 contracts compared to being long 32 last week. Corn, long 246 compared to 284 last week. Soybeans, long 180 compared to 230 last week. Meal, 64 long compared to 80 last week. And soy oil, 100 long compared to 109 last week. You can kind of see a trend there, right? And so managed money net positions at the CBOT climbed near to the highest level set back in 2012. Before they started to back off. So in the last 8 years when this has happened, we've trended lower when it comes to managed money net positions. Now, when they say net positions, that means that's a combination of their futures and their options positions and their spread positions. But I thought it was very interesting. We just got close to that, and now we've backed up a little bit. Export inspections. Wheat exports are running 2% ahead of a year ago. Last week, they were even. USD is expecting 1% increase. Corn is 68% ahead of a year ago. Last week it was up 65%. USDA is seeing 32% for the season. And soybeans are 67% up on the year compared to 69% last week, with the USDA expecting a 26% increase for the year. So we've also seen that kind of bouncing around. And it was interesting looking at the action so far today, Todd, because of the fact that, you know, we started out with beans really being down overnight, corn being down, suddenly corn coming back, basically back on the back of wheat, which was kind of surprising in a lot of ways. But now we found out it's primarily because of rumors coming out of China that China is going to buy corn and that they're checking on wheat prices. So that gave us a boost and got corn back into the green and out of the red. Hasn't gotten beans there just yet.
Turn your attention to South America for me. Lots of interesting things happening there and have had an impact on the marketplace, but rainfall now, I guess.
Well, they have, you know, and it's interesting too, because, you know, originally they came out and said that they were going to pick up more rain. Now they've come back and said they think it's going to be delayed. And so, Dr. Cordonier said that, you know, this has really been a strange start to the growing season in Brazil. The current dryness actually is historic for this time of year. And it's especially in, you know, those areas where they usually get, you know, rains daily. They're a very tropical climate is what they are. So the top 1 meter of soil in a lot of the prime crop producing areas like western Mato Grosso, southern Sao Paulo, western Paraná, western Santa Catarina, most of Rio Grande do Sul, central and northern Argentina and northern Uruguay is really at a deficit. In fact, in some areas, in some of those areas, they actually have 0, 1 meter down. So, you know, the question comes down to how much of the crop is going to be impacted. So Dr. Cordonier actually put some estimates out there. These are his. These aren't from any satellite imagery, not anything else, but he thinks 40 to 50% of the soybeans in Brazil, 50 to 60% of the full season corn in Brazil, 30 to 40% of Argentina's beans, and 40 to 50% of Argentina's corn, 50 to 60% of Paraguay's beans, and 50 to 60% of Uruguay's beans. Now, StoneX came out, and basically they raised production in Brazil on beans and second crop corn and lowered it on first crop corn. And, you know, I can't disagree with them. They raised the bean production based primarily on a very large increase in the acreage that's going to be planted. And so, you know, how do we know? You know, that's the hardest question. That's such a huge country that you really don't know what to. So you can see that the marketplace itself is just bouncing around trying to figure out, okay, is it going to be okay? Isn't it going to be okay? You know, and with the amount of grain that they've already shipped out, you know, they have just immense prices down there. Farmers in Mato Grosso have forward contracted as much as 70% of their anticipated soybean crop for this year at much lower prices than where they currently are. Their current price is like $14.53 a bushel. Now, I don't want our listeners to go and say, oh, that means we're going to go to $14.53. Everything there is related to the currency exchange rates, and their costs for transportation are unbelievable. And so the interesting part is they already have 20% of their anticipated inputs purchased, and input costs are expected to rise 13% for this coming year. Normal, right? Seed up 9%, fertilizer up 9%, chemicals up 11%, and of course, land rents up dramatically. So we're not surprised by that. IMEA, which is one of the estimating places down there, estimates the cost of production for next year's beans is going to go up to $6.50 a bushel. And so in Mato Grosso, corn has been contracted at over 50% of it is contracted between $3.40 and $3.80. And it is currently trading right now at 551. So, you know, that last 50%, they'll do just fine. There's no question about that. Their break even on corn for this year was like $1.81. But again, transportation costs just literally killed them down there. So there's a lot that, you know, we're going to be learning as we go along as far as how it goes. But I think, you know, when it comes to what's going on in our marketplace, we have to always keep in mind that you got to feed a bull all the time. You know, bulls just have to eat. There's no question about that. And so bears can hibernate for a while. And right now it appears that there's been a lot of stories out in the trade that the funds and the managed money both have lost some of their interests in the long side of these markets. And so it's going to take more now to get us to go that next step higher, if we can do that.
Any chance at all that you have one of those fun tidbits? If you do, I know you're back.
I do. I called it When Pigs Fly. When I saw this, I thought it was the funniest thing. Taiwanese lawmakers threw pig guts at one another in a scuffle over the government's decision to allow imports of U.S. pork and beef. Can you imagine that?
No, I cannot.
These are lawmakers. So pigs do really fly, or at least pig guts really fly.
Hey, it's so great to have you back, and I wish you the best on the end of your recovery here, too. We'll talk with you again next week, Jackie.
You betcha. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you. Jackie Vakes is with Total Farm Marketing. She's out of Hollister, Missouri. Yesterday, the Farm Doc team held its first of five webinars that encompass this year's Illinois Farm Economic Summits. It's all virtual this year, online. And if you've not caught up with us yet, you can still register. It's free. Just look on the Farm Doc Daily website or just go to willag.org and look for the link. Just scroll down the page and you'll find that link to the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. Yesterday, Joe Jansen, along with Scott Irwin, took up the outlook for crop prices. It's a really good one, and it's already posted to the website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Coming up, Gary Schnitke will be online this Friday at 11 o'clock, and you should be there with him as well to take a look at some of the budget process for farms this year and all kinds of information. All sorts of things are happening with the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. You can join us. Do it right now online at willag.org. Look for the Illinois Farm Economic Summit link. You'll find all the details and a way to register there. And it's all free. Let's check in now with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Hey, Drew, thanks for joining us this afternoon. Hope things are doing well there in your part of the world.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think I've actually worked off my Thanksgiving meal already, so I'm ready for Christmas.
I didn't have to work off my Thanksgiving meal, I have to admit. None of the kids were able to come back in because they didn't get their coronavirus test back. One of them actually got it back yesterday, and he was positive but didn't know it, so that's a good thing. And we were supposed to have everybody meals delivered to everybody. I think I told you that, Drew. None of them were delivered.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, terrible Thanksgiving.
You know what? It went okay. But it was funny. I'm glad you were able to have a good Thanksgiving meal and then that you managed to work it off, too. Speaking of working it off, in South America, they'd like to work off the drought they've been in. What are conditions like, and are they getting better, particularly in Brazil?
You know, I think we're turning the corner, so to speak. You know, you hear that phrase a lot. I think right now, visually, we're probably not quite at the corner, but it is just around the corner. I think that we will, over this next week, we're going to see a lot of precipitation fall across Brazil. And most areas that have been struggling here with notable dryness over the past few weeks will be relieved. Now, what's interesting and most important to keep in mind is that most of Brazil has managed to get timely precipitation. It's just been way below average. And I think it's easy to get caught up believing that the crop is destined for, you know, huge losses. But I'm not convinced of that. I think that the crop is not as viable as it normally is, but it's not dead. And it certainly has a root that can be expanded upon. And I think we're going to see a dramatic change in the overall conditions there as we go forward through the month of December. It's pretty late for some of the crop, and you know, we've lost some precious time, so I don't want to imply that there's not going to be anything but stellar yields. That's certainly not the case. They will lose a little yield, but I think that if you're looking for a disaster in Brazil, we may not really see it. I do think that the far southernmost part of Brazil, Rio Grande do Sul, and neighboring areas in Uruguay and southern Paraguay will fall back into a more traditional drier bias with La Nina later this month. But over these next, let's say, 5 to 7 days, a lot of that region is going to get rain. And some of it will be fairly significant in this next two-day period. For Argentina, the situation there is probably a little bit more tenuous. They have seen some very well-timed rainfall over this past week. Last weekend, there was rain in just about all of the country, but it wasn't very good in the south. There was more rain that occurred last night in Cordoba, which is their west-central-most state, but probably their biggest production area in general, kind of similar to Iowa. And that disturbance is moving northeast right now as we speak. And so a fair amount of Argentina away from the far south will see more rain in the next 24 to 48 hours. For Buenos Aires and La Pampa, it's a little different story. There's not a lot of moisture there. Buenos Aires actually has good subsoil moisture. Their wheat crop is moving along just fine. They are going to need rain a week from now, though, and that one province is probably of some concern if they miss a rain opportunity next week. And we'll see what happens as time moves forward there.
Let's stay in the southern hemisphere. Anything that we should be concerned about in Australia?
Well, you know, it's harvest season, or the latter part of it, actually, for their wheat and barley and canola crops. I think most of the canola is already out. There's some late season wheat in Victoria and southernmost New South Wales and South Australia, maybe a few pockets left in southern Western Australia that are all being harvested. But the weather's been fairly good for their harvest. There was a lot of worry this year that they were going to have a rainy harvest season because of La Nina, and that never came to fruition. And so they're moving along okay. But there's another problem a little farther to the north in Queensland and northern New South Wales, especially Queensland. Queensland's their most important livestock production area. It's also their most important cotton and sorghum producing state. And normally they start planting the cotton and the sorghum in the very last days of September, early October. And they had some really nice rain back then. And they got started. They probably got a lot of dry land crop put in the ground for the first time in I don't know how many years. But the last few weeks, it has become hot and dry, very much like last year. And this week, the past probably, I'd say, maybe 3 out of the last 7 days, maybe 4 out of the last 7 days, they have seen temperatures of 100 to 117 degrees. And that has occurred after a period of several weeks of very limited rain. And I'm afraid that a lot of their dry land crop has withered and probably died, and they're going to have to replant it if it ever rains again. And at the moment, it looks like rain will be possible, but not before 10 days from now. Typically, La Nina helps to produce abundant rain in Queensland and northern New South Wales. And these crops of cotton and sorghum are usually huge during a La Nina event. And their weather, certainly here recently, has been nothing short of anomalous and a big concern because they've been so many years with such poor rainfall. And of course, from a livestock perspective, those animals were seriously stressed this week. And the grazing conditions, after improving for a while, have deteriorated greatly once again.
Anything from the United States, especially in the wheat growing areas?
You know, the focus still is on hard red winter wheat, and so much market talk and market focus on that as being a hot spot. I urge a little caution here on that crop. You know, the precipitation has certainly been anomalous, and they've had plenty of warmth out there, and the moisture profile is not that great. And certainly in past weeks, we did see the USDA ratings come in quite low on ratings. I think this week they did a little bit better. But the whole thing is looking, you know, real scary from a market perspective. But my idea here is that there was enough rain at the right times to still support a root on these crops. And I think the potential for development is still very good. Looking at the long range outlook for the winter, I don't know that the precipitation is going to be just all that great. I think we're going to limp along, but you know, the crop is going to be dormant or semi-dormant. So I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of reason to be worked up too much about the lack of big time rains. The spring is looking a little bit more favorable, especially in April. In March and April both, but April in particular could end up being a little bit more favorably moist for the region. And if that happens, then I think there's a chance this crop may just turn around and surprise some folks doing a little bit better than expected. Not that it's going to be a bumper crop, but just I think we need to be careful we don't get too caught up in the market mentality and run right off the cliff.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Have a good day.
You too. That's Drew Lerner. He is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City and joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand at willag.org. And you can scroll all the way to the bottom of the page there if you prefer to find us in one of your favorite podcast applications. There are links to places like Stitcher and SoundCloud, as well as Spotify, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, too, even NPR One. And there's also a link on the page to the Farm Doc Daily Teams Illinois Farm Economic Summits. You should sign up today. Don't wait. Do it right now at willag.org. The registration is free for this year's 2020 IFAS, the Illinois Farm Economic Summits, online this Friday.